Well, another year, another budget stalemate over in Springfield. And here to talk about that with us is former State Senator Rick Winkle, now with the University of Illinois Institute of Government and Public Affairs. Rick, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
Well, certainly you've got some insight into how this whole process works over in Springfield, trying to come up with a budget. It's a little different now. You've got a democratically controlled legislature with a Republican governor, a dynamic that really we haven't seen in Springfield for a little while, at least since the George Ryan days.
Well, on the surface, it sounds like a repeat, Groundhog Day, that sort of thing where, gosh, we've heard this before, you know, budget wars, that kind of thing. But I got to tell you, Brian, this time it's a little different. The players are different. You know, as you mentioned, we have a new governor, Bruce Rauner, a Republican. And quite frankly, Speaker Madigan historically worked well with Governor Thompson and with Edgar and Ryan, all Republicans, and was able to work through budget process. So the optimists, including myself early on, thought, wow, Republican Governor Rauner, he's going to be pragmatic. They're going to be able, he's a businessman, venture capitalist. You know, he can talk the language, he'll learn, and Madigan and Rauner will sit down and work this through. Well, the problem with it is that they are both very disciplined, very capable. They know exactly what they want, and they want to keep what they have, and they aren't going to budge. And they're serious about this. This is not a game. This is real to them. And so, you know, you've got two very strong personalities in Rauner and Madigan, and of course Cullerton too, but particularly Rauner and Madigan, and they're not going to budge. And so it's not, you know, you go through the figures are daunting, the budget figures themselves, but quite frankly, that's not the problem. The problem here is a realignment or a rebalancing of power in Springfield and where that's going to be, who wins and who loses.
Yeah, it's a very interesting dynamic, as you said, and the governor has made it very clear that he's not going to compromise on any kind of revenue until he gets at least part of what he's called his turnaround agenda for the state, with several different components of that. The House talking about workers' compensation reform, and they did pass a bill, one that the governor didn't seem to think had very much teeth to it. Your thoughts on that bill that passed, Jeff?
Well, you know, it's a start. I mean, I saw Rich Miller's analysis, and so I'll borrow a little bit from him. But, you know, they did at least mention the word causation. Causal was the exact word that was used, which is something new for the Democrats. That what that means is, with workers' comp, it's always been essentially strict liability, in the sense if it happens, then it's a question of how much and, you know, what's the payment. Republicans, on the other hand, have said, look, we've got to reform that because it's driving business away. We have to have an element of causation. In other words, the injury itself has to be caused by a work-related incident. Otherwise, you know, it's too expensive. And that's been the big row over the years. And the Democrats have never budged on that. But that bill that they passed gave a hint of maybe a starting point for negotiations. And the key here is, will Rauner and Madigan, strong personalities that they are, actually sit down to the table and in good faith, and I believe they will, hammer this out? And I think, you know, it is mixing budget matters with non-budget matters, but, you know, Rauner's not backing off that. I mean, he came down kind of bargaining against himself and his turnaround Illinois. He had various elements. Some people counted 48 different elements. Got down to just a couple, workers' comp and term limits. And you know, he's actually not even talked about right to work for quite some time, although that's still lurking. And the labor unions know that. So, you know, he's kind of given in his perspective and not gotten much in return. But, of course, the Democrats, I mean, this is their very core values. They're very for their constituency. If they're to hang on to control of the legislature, they have to not lose the labor unions. And, you know, the right to work and workers' comp and all of that has to be done very delicately from their point of view. So in a big sense, it's the Republicans and Democrats, and you saw that yesterday with this bill, really just talking past each other. They really believe these things. That's the thing about this. Rauner really believes what he's saying. I believe that to be true. And I think Madigan believes what he's saying. They're true believers. And so you know, each can paint the other as being extreme. At some point, they're going to have to become pretty pragmatic about it, as we, especially as we approach June 30th, the end of the fiscal year, when the budget runs out. The budget that was given to the governor from the legislature by, on May 31st was $3 or $4 billion out of whack. Mm-hmm. You know, not enough money to pay for it. When we reach June 30th, they've got to come to grips with this and stop pretending that there's two things. You know, we're going to have to raise revenues and we're going to have to cut spending. And both are going to be very painful for both sides. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to have to work through that. Those figures are going to have to, you know, they're going to have to come to grips with those budget figures and work toward eliminating what's called a structural deficit, where we simply don't have sustainable revenue sufficient to pay for the things that we have to pay for. It's that simple. And they can work that through. What they've got to come to grips with is how can the Democrats give enough at the table for the business and the Republicans to accept workers' comp as being meaningful reform and maybe throw in some other things in the turnaround agenda that will be sufficient for both sides to claim that they've gotten something out of this budget war.
What do you think maybe some other realistic things are that Democrats might be willing to compromise on in that turnaround agenda? What are some other things where you think there could be some movement?
You know, that's really, Brian, that's really difficult to say, because you're really talking about, you know, core principles. And from the Democrats' perspective, you know, these are the ways we've always done it. This is what we've always believed in. It's always been this way, and we want to keep it this way, whether you're talking about, you know, workers' comp, whether you're talking about term limits, right to work, all this stuff that Rauner is pushing in Turnaround Illinois is just the exact opposite of what they believe. So for them to actually give on that, it's going to be the big problem is that Madigan has to, you know, and Cullerton, too, they have to keep their caucuses together. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, they're going to have to give. I can't tell you what exactly they're going to have to give on. That's going to have to be hammered out. But something's going to have to be real, because here's the thing, which I keep coming back to. Rauner will not budge unless he gets enough of what he's after.
Then you mentioned the other side of this, which is revenues, which I think most people think there will have to be some give on the revenue side somewhere. What are some possibilities there? Where do you see Governor Rauner saying, okay, I might be willing to give some compromise on revenues?
Well, you know, it's a difficult thing to predict in that regard, too. However, it's going to happen. There's going to have to be enhanced revenues. What's difficult about it, why I'm hedging just a little bit, is, you know, to put this thing in perspective, if you were to take the tax rates that went down in January and put them back in place the way they were, you'd have to double that to take care of the problem. Mm-hmm. So in other words, saying the same thing is you put them back to where they were in January, and you've taken care of half the problem.
Right.
So the other half has to come from, you know, cutting spending. So where do you cut it? You know, Rauner, in his budget address, the governor proposed, you know, higher ed taking a hit. Obviously, you know, that's in this, you know, in Champaign-Urbana, that's terrible. Mm-hmm. Municipalities are, you know, the local share, they're talking about taking a hit in his proposal. Mass transit, these things. I mean, where, you know, as you look around, where do you take the money from? Are you going to take it from K-12? Are you going to take it from health care? You know, are you going to take it from the prisons? Are you going to shut down prisons and have furloughs? You know, these are very, very tough questions. And I'm not sure where it's going to happen, but the governor last week, when he got the budget that was $3 or $4 billion, depending on whose numbers you believe, but $3 or $4 billion short of paying for itself, you know, he proposed $400 million in cuts, and I think that shows. I mean, we've been saying, okay, Governor Rauner, you campaigned, you're going to cut, be specific. You know, he's not been specific in the past. He's being specific now. He's telling us, and here's $400 million, for example. He's not going to blink on this, and I think, you know, if he needs to, he will cut. If we go past June 30th into the next fiscal year without a budget, we're going to find out. You know, and then it becomes a game of chicken, which is completely grotesquely irresponsible on both sides. Mm-hmm. So before we get to that point, we've got to come to the table, work on these turnaround issues. I think that has to be part of it. figure out what revenues need to be enhanced, whether it's the income tax, perhaps a sales tax on services, something. You've got to come, it's got to raise the revenue sufficient to at least take care of part of the problem. But the rest of it, which they've been extremely reluctant to do in past years, is to cut spending. Spending is going to have to be cut significantly. And the things that I mentioned, and I have to tell you, I mean, it hits home. I mean, it's going to affect a lot of places, you know, the university, mass transit, cities. I don't know where they're going to pick it, but there's going to be losers here.
Something that's also been discussed on the revenue side, and certainly I don't think it would be an immediate fix, but there's been a lot of discussion about casinos and gaming in Springfield for the last several years. How does that factor in maybe in the long term? Because short term, obviously, you can't build a casino in a month.
Well, you know, there's a couple things we haven't even touched, and that's one of them. The other one is pensions. But, you know, casinos, I'm very skeptical about, you know, there's the moral issue. I mean, mm-hmm. whether we should even be doing that and whether the state should be going in that direction. And there's certainly a debate in that area, which I think is very legitimate. But let's say we do, and we have. I mean, we've already gone in that direction. Do we go more? I mean, how much do you really raise out of it? I'm very skeptical that if you put a casino in Chicago, that it would really do much to change the problem, even for Chicago itself, let alone the whole state. I don't think it raises enough. The thing about the pensions, you know, no surprise, the Illinois Supreme Court came down and struck down the budget or the pension reform that was passed. Leaving very few real options, and that's going to have to. I mean, as you factor in where we're going to get the revenues, where we're going to make the cuts, and that's just talking about the structural deficit within the budget, the current and in the coming year. What are we going to do when you lather on top of that this whole huge problem of how do we take care of about $110 billion debt that we owe the state pensions? And it's not insurmountable; it's a huge number. We've got to take care of that, and that will have a fiscal impact. I don't know if it's $1 billion, $2 billion a year. I mean, whatever it is, it's going to have an effect that's going to have to be dealt with, and they're going to have to factor it in. Look, it took us many, many years of structural deficits year after year where we played this game of pretending like we didn't have to pay the bills, that we could keep borrowing. Well, it's time to pay.
Mm-hmm. Sticking with pensions for just a moment, with the reform package being struck down by the Illinois Supreme Court. What are the chances of something similar to what Senate President Cullerton had negotiated with union leaders a couple years ago? What are the chances of something like that coming out of Springfield, at least in the somewhat near future?
It's possible. I mean, you know, it's possible, but you know, there's still a question of that. That's not been tested in court. Mm-hmm. It will be tested in court, so it'd be years before that would actually be implemented. So it'll be challenged, and there is a question whether this quid pro quo, something for something, that is kind of the theory behind Cullerton's idea, that you know you give up something and we get something. The problem with it is, from my perspective, perhaps as somebody who's looking to retire someday within a system of that would be affected by this, but you know, so that's my disclaimer. Yeah, I have a personal interest, but for anybody who has an interest in this is going to look at it and say, well, wait a minute, what's the quid pro quo? You're giving me something bad for something in return that's bad? Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound fair. You know, what the Supreme Court said in its opinion, in the most simple terms, and being very simplistic here, is that, look, you made obligations. The Constitution of our state requires you to honor those obligations and to pay them. And you can't cut back on those. And so the question's going to be whether Cullerton's idea of something for something, you know, a bargain that you could reduce the cost of the system, whether that can survive a constitutional challenge is really an open question. And I'm not sure. And I say that not because I have the solution. It's a very difficult solution. And it's going to be one where we're going to have to spread this out over decades to get it to where we need to be. And quite frankly, my own humble opinion is that, you know, we keep talking in terms of 100%. Why 100%? Why not 80%? That'd be a heck of a lot better than what we've got, and do that over 40 or 50 years. But that's just my thought. And, you know, I think something toward that, spreading it out over time. But the trick with all of this is the linchpin that holds it all together is there the political will and discipline in this state for the powers that be, that those are in Springfield or the governor, will they stay on track and do this? You know, when they commit to, you know, reducing the pension problem and reforming it, will they stick to it, or will they let it drift again? So that's a question. And quite frankly, we as people, as taxpayers, as citizens of this state, we really have a huge obligation to follow this and hold our leaders' feet to the fire.
We'll see if that in fact happens. Rick, you miss Springfield at all these days?
I miss the people. I miss the process. But I'm enjoying myself as a kind of a recovering politician.
Very good. Rick Winkle with the University of Illinois Institute of Government and Public Affairs. Thank you very much for your time and insight today, Rick.
Thank you very much.